for our final installment of our study of the book of Exodus. Turn with me to Exodus 40, verses 34 to 38. Exodus 40, verses 34 to 38. Then a cloud covered the tent of the congregation, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And Moses was not able to enter into the tent of the congregation, because the cloud abode thereon, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And when the cloud was taken up from over the tabernacle, the children of Israel went onward in all their journeys. But if the cloud were not taken up, then they journeyed not till the day that it was taken up. For the cloud of the Lord was upon the tabernacle by day, and fire was on it by night in the sight of all the house of Israel throughout all their journeys. Last Lord's Day, we considered the final portion of Exodus, chapter 39, 32 to the end of chapter 40, with a special focus and attention upon these last verses that we have read, in which we read of the completion of the tabernacle, its assembly, all the parts, those sacred parts put together, connected, and fused together into one. It was consecrated, and her priests, and then God comes. The dwelling place of God. All the people of God, they have their tents as they are journeying through this wilderness. Well, the Most High is also pleased to have a tent of his own. And now that it is properly prepared, assembled, and consecrated, then a cloud covered the tent, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And that same glory cloud would from time to time take shape into a pillar above the camp and begin to lead the people forward, at which time the tabernacle was disassembled in a very reverent and careful way until the next time the Lord would pitch camp. Last Lord's Day, we looked upon this final act of God's coming and visiting his people and dwelling among them in the glory cloud and the pillar of fire by night, and how he shepherded his people, leading them as sheep to the promised land. And in this he revealed, among other things, his glorious attributes. By this glory cloud filling the tabernacle, so dense was the glory that not even Moses could enter in, God is saying, I am that I am. He is saying, I am altogether free. I come when I will come. I depart when I will depart. I settle when I will have us to remain, and when it pleases me, we go. Among other things, he declares by this glory of the Lord filling the tabernacle that he is altogether blessed. That fullness demonstrates that inner satisfaction of God, by which satisfaction the goodness of God spills over to his people. We see also here in these symbolic events that I am, Jehovah, is all glorious, altogether holy. Indeed, He is all. He is Israel's all. He is the portion of His people. Without Him, they are nothing. With Him, they have all. But these things represent not only realities that were present simply for that time, but also represented things that were yet to come. You see, the Bible is a book inspired by the Holy Spirit, written through different periods of time and moving forward as a stream moves forward to the ocean. So, God is not only speaking to this generation, but He is speaking to that generation and to all generations concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. The tabernacle does not only symbolize certain aspects and characteristics of Jehovah, but is foreshadowing the coming of God in the flesh. Let us now, as we close our study in the book of Exodus, consider the typology of the tabernacle. The typology of the tabernacle. 3 points. First, the incarnate presence. Second, the expansive fullness. Third, the heavenly guidance. The incarnate presence, the expansive fullness, and the heavenly guidance typified here in the glory cloud filling the tabernacle, in the cloudy pillar leading the people by day and the pillar of fire by night, proclaimed things to come concerning the Lord Jesus Christ and His church at the end of the age, of which we are a part, brothers and sisters. What a very entrancing final segment, so very rich with imagery, this glory cloud, God coming and filling in every space, every void, filling the tabernacle so densely with that which is so how can one say it in any other way, but so glorious that not even Moses could enter into the tent. The Lord is also telling us about the day when He would come personally. Now, many times we encounter in the Old Testament God visiting His people. Remember at the beginning of the book of Exodus, the Hebrew people, Abraham's descendants, they were slaves, and it seemed as though God was gone. Where is the Lord? Has He forgotten us? Has He forgotten to be gracious? Are His mercies clean, gone forever? Has He removed from us? Is there no glory in Israel? No glory that God at first revealed to Father Abraham in that seed promise, represented by the glorious stars of heaven and the sand by the seashore. Is it gone? Is it Ichabod over Israel? Well, it seems that way. It seems that though God is gone, until He reveals Himself to Moses and He says, I have heard, and I will visit My people. I will come. I will come. I will come for them. And so God came. But he came figuratively. Now, here in this glory cloud, we have something that is over and above a kind of figurative visit. We have, in a very symbolic way, a kind of sacramental way, God coming in this glory cloud, so that the unseen God makes himself seen and felt. Moses felt him. He felt that he could not enter. God is here. He has come. He has come. God with us. And yet, what this represents is something infinitely greater than this. Infinitely greater than a pillar of cloud. You see, God, he takes these natural elements that we see, and then he does something extraordinary with them in order to represent himself, because he cannot be seen. And yet, one day, a virgin conceived and was with child. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Prince of Peace. He shall be called Emmanuel, God with us. You see, what happened throughout the Old Testament was that God, yes, he did come to his people, but it was figurative, and it was pointing forward to the day when God would be manifest in the flesh. Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. That the Lord Jesus Christ, the second person of the Blessed Trinity, in time, took a body, and by his Spirit inhabited that body. Colossians 2, verse 9. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Isn't that language that is drawn straight from these waters? The fullness of the Godhead. The dense glory. That which is so infinitely weighty, so infinitely wealthy, so infinitely perfect. It came and dwelt as the Shekinah glory dwelt within the tabernacle. John 1:14. And the Word, by whom all things were made, who was with God and was God, that Word became flesh and dwelt among us. In fact, that Greek word that is translated by dwelt is the very word that means tabernacle. Literally, he tabernacled among us. Just as Jehovah in his Shekinah glory came and dwelt in that tabernacle, he lived with Israel, this sinful and wicked people who had broken the covenant just as soon as he had given it. Moses takes those two tablets, and what does he do, boys and girls? He throws them down in anger. You've broken the law. And yet God wants to live with his people. He will be with them. His presence will be with them. And in Christ, it was not figurative. He dwelt among us. And John says, and we beheld His glory. We beheld His glory. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And of His fullness, says John, we have received, and grace for grace. And He moved among us. He moved among us. He did not only dwell with us, He moved among us. After the resurrection, Judas, having taken his life, the apostles come together. And there must be the filling of a vacancy in the apostolate. Wherefore, of these men which have companied with us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John, and to that same day that He was taken up from us, must one be ordained to be a witness with us of His resurrection. He moved in this world. He went from one place to the other, to Bethany, to Nazareth, to the land of the Gadarenes, to Jerusalem. And He was witnessed. And that's good news, friends. And when the Son of God became man, He took to Himself, you know the catechism answer, boys and girls. He took to Himself a true body and a reasonable soul, being conceived in the womb of the Virgin Mary and born of her yet without sin. But never has He set aside His humanity. No, He took His humanity into heaven. And we will dwell with Him one day. But He is God with us. God with us. Then a cloud covered the tent of the congregation. Think of this language, friends. Do we not remember the Spirit of God hovering over the face of the deep in Genesis 1? And then do we not, with our minds, go to Bethlehem and consider the Spirit of God descending upon the womb of the Virgin? For it is by the Holy Spirit that that which is born of her shall come forth. Now you see, the Lord Jesus Christ, He has two natures. The God nature and the man or the human nature in one person. And the Holy Spirit formed from Mary's substance, yet without sin, that holy thing, which is God with us. God has come so close. Oh, you think God is far away? God has come so close to you as to enter the point of entry into this world that each and every one of us have passed through. He entered into a womb. Whatever nonsense may be spoken of in the present day, there are only two sexes, male and female, and it is through the one through which we all come into this world. So it was with Him. He was made in the lowest parts of the earth. He came forth dependent upon her, physically helpless, as all of us. Cared for by his parents. He grew in wisdom and knowledge and in the favor of God and of man. God with us. The cloud covered the tent of the congregation, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And that glory moved from place to place to place. And that glory has now moved to the right hand of God. But he is not going to stay there. He's going to come again, that we may be with him. The incarnate presence. Second, this closing passage reveals to us something of the typology, that is, that symbol that represents future realities of the New Testament. It speaks of an expansive fullness. The glory cloud that filled the tabernacle in the first case represents the incarnation of the Son of God in the womb of the Virgin Mary. So that born of her is the God-man, the Lord Jesus Christ. But in a secondary way, this also represents the indwelling of God's people by his Holy Spirit. The tabernacle typifies at once the body and the soul of the Lord Jesus Christ and the church. John 14:17. The world cannot receive the Spirit of truth because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. First John 3:24. He that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he, that is God, in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us. The Spirit has come into the church. And each and every member receives of the fullness of Christ. And by his Spirit, believers are not only indwelt, but they are mystically united to the Lord Jesus Christ. By one Spirit, says Paul, we are baptized into one body. There is one Lord, one faith, one baptism. There is one Spirit. One body, one Spirit. He that is joined to the Lord, says Paul elsewhere, is one Spirit. The Spirit, in effectual calling, unites us to Christ. And we become, not physically, but spiritually, as often said, mystically, in a very mysterious way, but really so, we are one with Christ. I am the vine. You are the branches. You dwell in me, and my life will be channeled through you, and you shall bring forth fruit. And it's not going to be your fruit. It will be my fruit through you. So abide in me. Dwell in me, and I in you. Fairbairn puts this so very well when commenting upon the words of the apostle that in Christ dwelt the fullness of the Godhead bodily, says that this was the first stage in the development of the great mystery of godliness. For Christ's flesh was the representative and root of all flesh as redeemed. Christ's flesh was the representative and root of all flesh as redeemed. There is a spiritual bond, a spiritual connection between the head and the members. That's why we can't go and take our body and give it to a prostitute, says Paul. Because you are connected with Christ. You are the body of Christ. You are the temple of the Holy Ghost. You cannot yield your members any longer as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin. Because by the Spirit of God, you are a part of Christ. And as He is holy, you are holy. The Holy Spirit, the Spirit that descended upon Christ, Christ, the Son of God, in His person as the Messiah, He received the Holy Spirit without measure. And then He breathed on His disciples and said, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost." And so I say in His name, receive ye the Holy Ghost. John baptized with water. But there is one who came after him who baptizes with an element far greater than water, who washes and cleanses and incorporates those who are sinful and backward and useless. And He makes them spiritually, mystically a part of His life without us partaking of any of the nature of the Godhead. Let's be careful about that. When we talk about being one with Christ, we are in Christ. That's something you can't miss when you're reading through Paul's letters. In Christ, in Christ, in Christ. It doesn't mean that there's any blurring of His divinity and our nature, but spiritually and mystically, by His Spirit, we are a part of Him so that we are the body of Christ. And His Holy Spirit fills us as the Shekinah glory filled the tabernacle. Think of that, Christian. The next time you're down and depressed and discouraged, I am a living member of Christ. I am filled with His Spirit, the Spirit of grace and of glory, of His fullness I have received. Now, maybe we're not sensing it. That's a different story. Maybe we're walking in a unworthy of this. But it does not change the fact. If any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. If you have Christ, you have the Spirit. The fullness of the Spirit. Now, be filled with the Holy Spirit. It's interesting that in one sense, believers, the church, have the Holy Spirit. In another sense, they are urged to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I would suggest that at the very least, this means welcoming and entertaining the Holy Spirit again and again. How can we replenish ourselves, as it were, with the Holy Spirit? Well, let us continue to renounce the law as the covenant of works. Let us stand fast in Christian liberty. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Don't be entangled again by a yoke of bondage. Bowing down yourself unto laws and ordinances and precepts of men's appointment, or using the law of God as a means to establish your own righteousness. And it's easy to get drawn back into that fleshly way of thinking. No. Friends, as glorious as Moses was, his face shining with the glory of Jehovah, he could not enter into the tabernacle. He couldn't enter in. He could not enter into the land of promise, even, which is telling us, as glorious as Moses was, he's pointing to another. There's another righteousness. And the promise of the Spirit in the gospel. Welcome the Holy Spirit. Entertain the Spirit of Christ, whom you have, if you are a Christian, by renouncing the law as a covenant of works, standing fast in your Christian freedom. Don't let anyone else become the Lord over you if they are stepping in the way of the one who loved you and died for you. Welcome him and entertain him again, Christian, by cleansing the filth of your souls by fresh tears of repentance. You know, you want to entertain somebody, you clean your house. Well, maybe you've been grieving the Spirit and he doesn't want to fill your heart because you're harboring sin inside. David said, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Do not grieve the Spirit of God, by whom you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Welcome the Spirit of Christ and entertain him by embracing your new identity, worth, and sufficiency in Christ and in Christ alone. Embrace the fullness of Christ and don't try to cram anything else that would add to or supplement your own sense of identity, worth, and sufficiency. Notice how Paul draws this line in Colossians 2, verses 9 and 10. In him, that is in Christ, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him. You're complete in him. Now, if you're not in Christ, you can pour whatever you want, but it's like a sieve. It's going to fall right out. But if you're in Christ, you have everything, and you are complete in him. Welcome the Spirit. Welcome the fullness of Christ and entertain him by personal, habitual, and eager attendance on the worship of God. Not only in church, but in family worship and in your private seasons in the closet. Entertain him by singing the songs of the Spirit, Ephesians 5:18. Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, singing to yourselves in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Well, we hasten on. Third and last, the heavenly guidance. The tabernacle not only symbolizes timeless realities concerning Jehovah, but more than that, typifies that which has come to pass in the fullness of time. And we have here represented the heavenly guidance of the new covenant church by the Lord Jesus. And when the cloud was taken up from over the tabernacle, the children of Israel went onward in all their journeys. But if the cloud were not taken up, then they journeyed not till the day that it was taken up. For the cloud of the Lord was upon the tabernacle by day, and fire was on it by night in the sight of all the house of Israel through all their journeys. You see, God comes and he not only visits his people, but he goes before his people and leads them through a wilderness world. Psalm 78:52. Jehovah made his own people to go forth like sheep and guided them in the wilderness like a flock. Well, I ask you, who is the good shepherd? Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. The same shepherd of the Old Testament, of whom David sang, the Lord's my shepherd, I'll not want. But now he has taken flesh. And not simply to be present with his people and to be viewed in his glory, but to lead them. What did Jesus do as he moved in circuit around the villages and the cities of Israel? But he taught them. He taught them. He showed them the way of salvation. Young people, how doth Christ execute the office of a prophet? Christ executed the office of a prophet in revealing to us by his word and spirit the will of God for our salvation. This world is a dangerous place. Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. We must have the good shepherd leading us by his word and spirit. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. As the congregation of old followed the cloudy pillar until it stopped, then they stopped. And when it resumed, kept on going. They did not chart their own course, but they attended to him. Even so, we attend upon Christ by his word and spirit. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. And he gives not only his written word or his preached word, but he also gives his Holy Spirit within the Christian. You have the unction of the Holy One, and you do not need that any man should teach you. You see, there is a voice inside by the Holy Spirit of every Christian answering to the word. It's not anything more than the word. Oh, dear friends, let's never go that direction. But that Holy Spirit leads us. I will give you another comforter, and he shall lead you into all truth. Until they get to a better country. Christ is leading us home. I close, brothers and sisters, with these admonitions. Yield to Christ's direction. Yield to the Spirit's leading. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Now, do not mistake the true pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night for false pillars, because there are many of them. There is popular opinion. When Hananiah confronted Jeremiah And he took that yoke from off his neck and he broke it. And he said in the audience of all the people, so it shall be that the power of Nebuchadnezzar shall be broken from off Judah within the space of 2 years. Well, what happened within 1 year? Hananiah died at the prophecy of Jeremiah. Now, his message was popular because everyone wants to hear nice things, but they don't want to hear the word of the Lord. You got to stick to the pillar, Christian. Stick to the pillar. Beware also of the false pillar of private subjective feelings. Beware. Feelings can be so deceptive and misleading to the law and to the testimony. If they speak not according to these, it is because there is no light in them. You know, sometimes our feelings are not just misleading, they're downright bewitching. And we've got to confront our feelings and say, now this is out of line. Beware of others, other voices that are not the voice of the Good Shepherd. Oh, sheep, beware of the other voices. Beware of those false teachers who come as wolves in sheep's clothing. Beware of wandering false teachers. Beware of the false prophet Muhammad. Beware of the Pope of Rome. Beware of blind leaders of the blind, for both shall fall into the pit. But follow the true pillar of the Word of God. The Word of God. This is the standard. This is the most reliable guide through all the dangers in this world. There may be all kinds of good advice that you can have from different sources, but this is the most reliable and trustworthy. Attend upon it. Attend upon the Holy Spirit speaking in the reading of the Word, in the preaching of the Word by faithful ministers. Interpret your life in light of the Word and not the Word in light of your life. And make decisions with the principles of Scripture and having sought good counsel. And if God reveals His path to you, then follow Him, even if that is a very difficult path. Through suffering, through persecution, straight into the desert, yet know that He will be with you. He will be with you. In all their affliction, He was afflicted, and the angel of His presence saved them. Follow me, says Jesus. Follow me, and it will be well. Amen. Let us close in prayer. Please stand. O Lord, lead us onward to the heavenly country, the better country that is before Thy people. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Oh, teach us to watch and pray. For our spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. We adore Thee, we praise Thee. Send us now with Thy blessing and receive all honor and praise. Have mercy upon us through Christ Jesus. Amen. You may be seated.